There is a word from the Lord on today. Our word is found today in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Since I'm going to have the opportunity to preach two times next month, I decided that I would do a little series, and I'm going to start with the first six verses of that 17th chapter found in the first book of Kings. When you have it, please say amen. Now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Cherith ravine east of Jordan. You will drink from the brook I have ordered, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord told him. He went to the Cherith ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Let us pray. God, I thank you for this opportunity to stand at this sacred desk. Hide me behind the cross, O God, and just give calmness to my spirit that I might do what you've called me to do on today. God, your people came today to hear a word from on high. Use me, God, as an empty vessel before a full fountain, that I might pour out, God, what thus saith the Lord. Bless your people, God. Give their ears that they may tingle, God, that they might hear what you say. Lord, we give you praise today, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I was to tag this little time that I have to spend with you today with a title, it would be The Power of God. The scripture we have heard in our reading is telling the story of a very dark time in the history of God's people. Ahab, the son of Omri, was king. He is described in 1 Kings 16:30 this way: "Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him." Prior to Ahab were the kings Jeroboam, who led Israel astray through the worship from the worship of Jehovah into the golden calf worship. Then there was Baasha, who killed Nadab, Jeroboam's son, as well as others in Jeroboam's home, that he might ascend the throne of Israel in blood. Then there was Omri, Ahab's father, who was the first king of the northern territory to pay tribute to the Assyrians. He felt so threatened by their empire, he tried to hold on to his reign by agreeing to foreign treaties with this pagan nation. When Omri did this, he brought their gods to Israel and built idols to mislead the people. Now Ahab is described as being worse than any of those before him. As part of Ahab's father's treaty with the Assyrians, which involved the northern kingdom of Zidon, where Ahab met and married Princess Jezebel, daughter of the Zion king. They were Baal worshippers. Now Ahab and Jezebel worked together to make Baal the god of Israel, and in an attempt to replace the worship of God, they killed all the prophets of God. Under their leadership, it became illegal to worship the God of Israel due to the influence of Jezebel. The reign of Ahab and Jezebel was one of the darkest periods in the history of the Old Testament. Right in the middle of this darkness, God had his man, his prophet Elijah, to appear, to show up out of nowhere and rebuke the king. Elijah is one of the most well-known prophets in the entire Bible. We can see Elijah as he shows up with Moses at the Mount of Transfiguration for Jesus. Some believe that John the Baptist was an incarnate of the prophet Elijah. And then the book of James speaks of Elijah in that fifth chapter and 17th verse, when it says that Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain on the land, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave way to rain, and the earth produced a crop. Elijah showed up in recorded history at a time when the wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel was so strong that only 7,000 men of Israel had not accepted Baal as their god. This was a period of not only political strongholds, but a time of spiritual strongholds. The people of Israel were running back, turning their backs on God. So God sent his prophet Elijah to speak to the issues of his time and to show God strong among his people. Elijah, through the prayer of God, performed many miracles. 15 more will follow these scriptural verses. In this time with you, I just want to walk us as we walk through these few scripture verses so that we can be encouraged too. Because there were times that we will find ourselves in situations that may appear to be too big or overwhelming for us as well. You see, God specializes in the impossible, the overwhelming and the too big for us to handle. You see, God shows up in the midst of our situation and he can do some miraculous things. Jesus, just when it seems as if the situation was more than we can handle and the enemy has gotten the upper hand, God will send help when we need it to work out our situations. It may appear as if God isn't there, but I want to tell you, God is here. It may appear that God doesn't care, but I want to tell you, God does care. It may even appear that God is not powerful enough to change your situation, but I want you to know that we serve an all-powerful God. And I know that there's nothing too hard for him. You see, in that 17th chapter, that first verse read now, Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." The first thing Elijah does is obey God. You see, God called his obedient servants Elijah. He called Elijah and gave him a word to prophesy, a word to set the scene for what God was about to do. Elijah didn't question God. He just did what God told him to do. Elijah didn't hesitate or say, "God, could you help me be sure? Can you give me some confirmation that what you said is what you really want me to say?" No, Elijah didn't think about it. He just did what God told him to do. You see, Elijah stepped out on faith. Elijah had a relationship with God. You see, when you got a relationship with God and God can tell you to do something, it might seem crazy to somebody else. But if God told you to do it, he knows what he's doing. You got to step out on faith if you want to see the power of the living God. Elijah, having a relationship with God and did what God told him to do, he set the scene. You see, it was a setup, not only to get the enemy's attention, but to get God's people's attention. God set the scene, not just for the people and the enemy, but also for Elijah. Sometimes in the plan of God for our lives, he will take us through some things, ask us to do some things that don't even make no kind of sense. But in God and his infinite wisdom, he knows what it takes to prepare us to do what he's called us to do. So he knows and he is in charge of our destiny. So we got to learn how to obey God. You see, God sets the scene to get our attention. He allows a drought to overtake the land so that we will know that he is God and there is none other beside him. Sometimes when we get ourselves so caught up in the world, we forget that we are not of the world, that we are influenced by the world. The Bible historians reported that most of the people had turned their backs on God and were worshiping idol gods. They worshiped gods who promised material things, false power, living lives filled with adultery of the worst kind. They had no regard for the precepts of God. Their morals were in decay. They were living any kind of way. Idolatry is not dead. It's still here today. It just comes in other forms. You see, idolatrous living leads to an attitude of a life that has no regard for each other. We see it every day. No care for the least of these or how they will be provided for. We see it every day. No respect for themselves or anyone else. We see it every day. every man did as he pleased. So God sent Elijah to tell Ahab, who had led God's people astray, that there would be no water, neither from dew or from rain, until I say that there will be water. We might ask, why would God use a drought to correct his people and bring down the strongholds of the enemy? Water is essential for everything that we need. Without water, we cannot live. Water is part of nature, and God, the Creator, controls nature. We need water to grow food and vegetation. We need water to feed our animals, and without water, they will die. We need water to cleanse ourselves and our environment. Just for a moment, it wasn't that long ago we had a storm come through here, and some people didn't have any water. Just for a moment, think about your world without any water. What would you be able to do? Nothing. Because without water, there is no life. We know that's true. And how we know it's true is when we fast forward into the New Testament. When we look at John 4 and 10, we see Jesus talking to the woman at the well. He says, if you drink of this living water, meaning him, that you would thirst no more. And then he goes down a little further in John 7, 38. And Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. God knows that he is the source of our living and redemption. And it is through him that we have life and have our being. God wanted Ahab and Jezebel to understand that the God of Israel was the God of power over all things. You might have your little gods, Ahab, but I am Jehovah Jireh, the provider. I want you to get this straight. I am Jehovah Rapha, the healer. And if you think you got something, let me tell you something. I am Jehovah Shalom, your peace. And if you didn't get that, then I want you to know that I am Jehovah Nisi. I reign in victory. So don't you get it twisted. I am the one. I am the all-powerful God. You can do nothing without me. If you want to see the power of the living God, you got to learn how to obey God. You see, God pulled the plug on the rain machine to get his people's attention and to show the enemy he really mean business. God stood by for a while to see just how far they would go with this thing. And when it seemed that there was no limit to their arrogance and defiance of God, he stepped in with Elisha. Have you ever had a stepped-in moment in your life when you know that God had just stepped in to your situation? Had you ever been with your back against the wall and God stepped in just in on time? Had you ever been so down that God stepped right in and picked you up? That's a step in moment. Have you ever had one of those? We too have become so arrogant and full of ourselves, doing everything that's pleasing, that is unpleasing to God, and making excuses for our behavior. When it seems as if we've gotten away with it, and instead of praising God for not striking us down, what do? We keep right on going with it. Well, I want to tell you today that you might think you're getting away with it, but God got his time. And he comes in and he talks to us. He tries to console us and tell us this is not the way, but we just keep right on going. But I want you to know that we can become boldness in our sinfulness and doing whatever we want. But even as we do what we want and we step up here in the house of God and treating God like he's some chump, but I want you to know that God is everywhere. God sees everything. Nothing's done in secret. You can hide it from your people, your family, but you can't hide from God. You see, God hears how you talk to people. God hears, he sees how you treat people. God is watching you as you go in and as you come out. He sees us up in here praising in the house of materialism and making excuses as we come into his house. God knows how he behaves, and he knows that if we don't be careful, that same spirit of Ahab and Jezebel can overtake us, and we can act like a fool and do some crazy things. But I want you to know that God expects us to obey him. And if we obey him, we'll see the power of the living God. God is God every day, not someday. Make no mistake. Nothing is done in secret when it comes to God. When we step too far over the line, God will chastise us. He'll give us an opportunity to clean up our act. Unlike King Ahab, we better stop playing with God and let God, before God send a drought to clean up your life. I don't know about you, but I want to get it right. I might not get it right every time, but I know how to fall on my knees and say, God, forgive me, for I've sinned, God. Clean me up, God. Set me straight, oh God. Help me to get it right, oh God. As we go forth in this story, Lord realized that Elijah was in danger. The God who knew everything knew that Ahab and Jezebel would be coming around looking to kill Elijah for speaking the prophecy of Jehovah God. So God speaks to Elijah again in that second and fourth verse. And this time he says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. He says, leave, turn eastward, and hide in the Cherith ravine east of Jordan. The second thing God does is he gives instructions to Elijah. To experience the power of God, we have to learn how to follow instructions. Here God is speaking to Elijah, this time giving him instructions for his life. God speaks to us all the time through his word. He tells us what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. When we follow his instructions, he leads us out of danger. He leads us out of sickness. He leads us out of brokenness and troubles on every side. You see, that Cherith Ravine is a home to a river somewhere east of the Jordan. Unlike the Jordan, it was a place that Elijah could hide in, away from the sight of Ahab and Jezebel. A place where Elijah could find safety from them, who was seeking to take his life because he had prophesied about a drought. The name Cherith means cutting or separating. God was cutting off Elijah the Tisbite from Ahab and the rest of Israel, who was in a time of going after idols. There's a time in our lives when God has to cut some people out of your life so that he can do a work in you and a work in him. There's a time in our lives when God has to separate us from some people that we might find safety in the midst of his plan for our lives. There are some times in our lives when God will remove us from the crowd for a season that he might give us clarity and correction and to correct someone else. Because you see, when we're trying to walk right, when we're trying to do the best to do so that our walk will match our talk, you see, our presence can irritate some folk. You know, they get angry with you and they want you to get out of the way because you're messing with their stuff. They don't want to change. They like where they are, so they don't want you around them. So don't be dismayed, for God will not be mocked. Not only did God hide Elijah by the brook with drinking water, while the whole land was going through a drought, God promised to feed Elijah. In my study, I discovered that Elijah was hidden in the Cherith Ravine for 2 years. In that fourth verse, God says, you will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. Now, I want to tell you, the water part I got real quickly, but the feeding part got a little rough for me. Of all the birds that God could have ordered to feed Elijah, he chose the raven. You see, a raven is from the scavenger family. They are a large bird who waits for living creatures to die and then eat the remains. I struggled with God's decision to use a raven to feed Elijah, so I dug a little deeper. I discovered that the ravens are hunters, and they are extremely intelligent birds. They eat berries, they eat fruit, insects and bread, small animals, and yes, I'm sorry, roadkill. Ravens are mentioned a few places in the Bible, but the other verse that is most noted is in that Genesis chapter 8. You see, before Noah sent the dove out, he sent a raven out, and the raven never came back. Not because the raven didn't find land. It didn't come back because it was selfish. It didn't care about anyone but himself. It's also said that the raven leaves his young without. Yet God chose to use a raven to feed his servant Elijah. And so the question is, why God? Because God wants to show Elijah. He wants to show us that he has control and power over all creation. You see, God wants us to know that he has the power to order a wild, selfish, flesh-eating predator to be the source of food for his servant. God wants us to know just how much he can do through the hearts of a man or woman who has a heart for God. If I can take a raven and feed my servant, what can I do with a man or a woman? If they would just give their hearts to me, I can turn this world upside down. You see, God wants us to know that he works outside of the box. We're looking to the right, but I want you to know God is coming from the left. I want you to know that God has got all power. He can put your enemy under your feet. I want you to know that he can close some doors. I want you to know he can open some doors because the power of the living God, he can do anything but fail. But he's looking for somebody to be obedient today. He wants somebody that can follow some instructions. You see, and then he'll take your enemy and use them to bless you. He'll take somebody who wouldn't even lift their finger to help you and make them help you. He'll call somebody who don't like you to bless you. I want you to know today, you don't have to like me, but if God want to use you to bless me, he will. Don't you be afraid. You just go on with God. I want you to be obedient. I want you to follow instructions and know that God won't let nobody block your way if he sent you. We got to get this thing straight. We scared of people. Oh, I'm scared of her. No, I ain't scared of you. I serve God, the Almighty God. He can turn your heart around. It's in that fifth verse where he says, so he did what the Lord told him to do. He went to Cherith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. If you want to experience the power of God, we have to do what Elijah did. First, he obeyed. Then he followed instructions. And then he waited on God. You see, God had Elijah hidden in a secret place. Not only did he hide Elijah, he kept Elijah safe in this secret place. God provided for Elijah's needs. Elijah was sent away to a place of safety while God got the attention of his disobedient people. Elijah was sent to a place of safety while God broke the strongholds of the enemy. Elijah was sent away for safety while he stayed and waited on God. Some of us know how to obey, and some of us even know how to follow instructions, but we don't know how to wait on God. Elijah wanted to hear from God, but it took 2 years of being in this place before God showed up again. The word doesn't say that God came and discussed his plans with Elijah. The word doesn't say that God wrote Elijah a letter saying, you're going to be there 2 years. You see, the word doesn't say that God sent an email in outlining the next season in Elijah's life. It just said, so he did what the Lord told him to do. He went to Cherith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and he stayed there. Now, I must admit, sometimes it's hard to wait. Waiting takes a spirit of trust. Waiting takes a spirit of humility. Waiting takes a spirit of obedience. But wait we must. You see, God's looking for some servants who will be obedient today. He's looking for some servants who know how to follow some instructions. He's looking for a servant that don't mind waiting until they come around with the next plan. You see, if you want to experience the power of the living God, you got to follow the model that Elisha has set before us. Obey, follow instructions, and wait on God. Now, as I bring this thing to a close, I want us to just look at that last verse, number 6. It says, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Just what God said he would do, God does. He provided water for Elijah in a dry land while he was himself in his chariot ravine season. I want you to know today that just what God says he will do. You know, God will do what he said. He ordered the ravens to feed Elijah while he was in his ravine season. You see, just what God said he will do, he does. We got to learn how to take God at his word, that if he said it, he shall bring it to pass. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should confess. If he said it, he's powerful enough to bring it to pass. He kept them safe while he was in his ravine season. God doesn't say how he's going to bless us. He just promised us that he will bless us. God will let it rain in your life if you are really, really, really ready to say, I know that I know that God is going to work it out. If you can truly say, any way he blessed me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. Don't just sit up in here and sing that song and don't know what it really means. It means however God decide to bless me, I'll be satisfied. I'm not going to complain about it, God. I'm not going to say I wanted a red car and you gave me a blue car. I'm not going to say, God, I wanted a 3-bedroom house and you only gave me a 2. God knows what you need. He knows when you need it and he knows how you need it. You think that you need the $60,000 car, but God said, no, you don't. You need the $20,000 car. Get your head straight and know that I know what's coming down the road. You see, God is able to see today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Anyway, you bless me, Lord, I'm going to be satisfied. I'm not going to be complaining. I'm not going to be whining, God. I'm going to take what you give me and be blessed in the Lord. I'm going to tell somebody, he blessed me coming in and he blessed me coming out. He put a roof over my head, shoes on my feet, clothes on my back, a job to go to day in and day out. I'm going to bless your name, God. God wants us to experience the power of the living God. He wants us to turn away from worshiping idols of materialism, idols of misbehavior, idols of being mean to people, idols of not wanting to help one another. God wants us to come together as a village and a church that we might be a blessing to somebody else other than ourselves. And to do that, we must learn to obey. We must learn to follow instructions without asking for an explanation. We got to learn how to wait on God, no matter how long it take. President Mandela spent 26 years in prison. Don't you think he prayed every day, God, get me out of here? But I also know that from the story of his life, from his behavior while he was in that prison, he didn't make a fool out of himself and act up and show out. He kept his spirit calm. He prayed to the Lord. He did what he could do in the space that he was in. And he blessed the Lord. Stop looking at tomorrow and live today. God got tomorrow in the palm of his hands. He's got your tomorrows already worked out. You just do what you do, and that is obey. Follow instructions. Wait on the Lord and accept the blessings however he sends them. Elijah never questioned God, because he accepted the will of God. He accepted the promises of God, and he knew the power of God. If you really want to experience the power of God in your life today, we have to follow Elijah's example and sit at the feet of Jesus, just as he taught then, he's teaching us today. Jesus, in that Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 25, I'm going to just hit on a couple of those verses. He's talking to the people, and he's preparing his disciples to go out and be servants that would take the gospel message all over the world. In that 25th verse, he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? The body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in a barn, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I jump down to that 33rd verse where it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow worries about itself. Each day have enough trouble of its own. Before we leave here today, I want you to repeat three affirmations with me. Let the power of God's blessing rain on me. Let the power of God's blessings flow through me. Let the power of God's blessings overtake me. You are the people of God. You come here every Sunday seeking the Lord's face. And he has blessed many, many, all of us. And some of us have some real, real special blessings. I hope my sister Mary Singletary doesn't mind that I call her out today when I said the Lord has done a mighty work. This woman had brain surgery, but here she sits among us because of the blessings of the Lord. There's so many more of us that have been through some ups and downs, through some sickness, through some ins and some outs, but the Lord has blessed us. He's just looking for you to obey him. He's looking for you to have to be able to follow some instructions. Learn how to wait on the Lord. And when the blessings come, be satisfied. And say, Lord, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. Lord, I pray that the power of the living God fall afresh upon your people.